So we're going to have a look this morning at Christianity and the way that it is not nowadays quite the same as it was originally, and think about the issues and the processes that might be involved in bringing back to life, reviving the original version. We've got three words in our title, and I've got three pictures that go with each word. This is the picture for the word original, and there are two cars there. And those of you who know about cars might know that they're both the same car, but one is the original car and one isn't. And you can see that perhaps one is a mini car. It was called a mini, it was quite small. The other one is made by German people who, obviously the word mini doesn't translate very well into German. So we'd use that little picture to remind us when we're having a look at the original Christianity. And then we wanted a picture for Christianity itself, which was a bit of a stretch, and I thought I would talk about the blot that Christianity has come to have on the pages of history. So I had a bit of a struggle to find a picture of a blot, but when you see that logo on the slides that we're going through, that's the blot. I'll ask you to take my word for that. So we've looked at original, we've got a picture for original, we've got a picture for Christianity, and now we've got a picture for reviving. And this is just to remind us that when you revive something, you might revive it into something completely different to what it was before, so you need to be careful to do it right and not to do it wrong. That's another lesson that we want to come back to, and we'll use that third slide, that's the logo when we're talking about those things. There is a bonus picture, it's black and white, I quite like it. And it's a picture that we'll use, we'll spend a few moments talking about revivalism and what that was or what it is. Okay, so you know, as we're going through our time, when we're a quarter of the way through, when we're halfway through, when we're three quarters of the way through, and when we're at the end. So let's start with the word original. So there's the picture that we said we'd use for original. Let's start with the question, is that right? Is Christianity, as we see it round about us today, is it not the original Christianity then? Is it different? Well, that's the issue, isn't it? If it is different, then it is not the original Christianity. So, Christianity today has different teachings to the original Christianity. Perhaps you can think of some of the different teachings that it has. Teachings about Jesus' nature seem to have changed over time. Indeed, if you look back through the history of Christianity, it was one of the features that one of the earliest changes that you saw was that their beliefs about who Jesus was changed quite dramatically, quite quickly. One of the sources of information about Christianity is the Bible itself. And early Christians had a very particular view of the way the Bible should be read, what it was used for, where it had come from, and how important it was. That's very different to the view that people who call themselves Christians nowadays have of the Bible. The Bible almost, sometimes you hear Christians talking, almost seems to have no importance, no relevance. And the inspiration of the Bible is something that has been diminished in popular Christianity. Then there is what Christians used to believe about resurrection and what Christians nowadays believe about resurrection. All that seems to have changed. Things like what day Christmas Day is. You might be surprised at that one. Things like, what is the date of Easter? You can say, well, you can look this up in any diary and find what is the date of Easter. But if you were in Russia, you'd find it's a different date to the date printed in your diary. And it's always a different date. And this has been one of the great debates, again, from quite early in the history of Christianity. So there have been all sorts of deviations, departures, changes in direction. This is a one that you may not have heard of, a rather beautiful one, and there are more. So we're contending then that Christianity is not the same as it originally was in lots of ways. And we've just sampled a few of those ways. So I'm going to play a game with you now, so you can all wake up at this point, please. We all like dropping names, don't we? The name-dropping game is where somebody drops somebody's name out, and either you've never heard of the name, and perhaps you feel that you ought to, or you have heard of the name that they've said, so you're very pleased with yourself. Or maybe you're the person who's dropped a name, and you thought you might catch a few people out, so again, you're very pleased with yourself. Well, we want to do this with why did Christianity change from what it originally was? And we're suggesting at the bottom of the screen there that one of the reasons that you can see is that when people got baptized, when people became Christians, they didn't leave behind some of the ideas that they had used to have, but that those ideas came as an overlay onto the belief set of the original Christians. And so the pyramid of the things that were believed within Christianity grew, and it started to be coloured by non-Christian views that people who became baptised brought along with them, brought in with them. Here's the game then. So I'm going to drop the name Grievous Wolves, and that might mean different things to different people, but it's one of the things that the Bible tells us would happen, which would blast Christianity from where it was originally to a different place. It would change the level. There would be people who would have such a savaging effect on Christian beliefs that they were like wolves who would come to devour it. So that's the first name I'll drop. Here's the second one. Gnostics. So again, I'm trying to see whether anybody's ever heard of these names. Gnostics, with their ideas about mysteries, that there were some people who could understand the mysterious teaching of Christianity, and there were other people who, because they weren't as clever as the Gnostics, couldn't understand those things. And so Christianity was kind of ripped apart in that sort of way. Or there were then the pseudo-Platonists who came along with their metaphysical explanations of things, which were an alternative explanation set to the explanations in our scriptures, in the Bible. The original explanations became discarded, and rather super fine sounding, almost scientific sounding explanations came along. Well, that's the name, that's the list of the names I'm dropping. Did you recognize them? I hope that perhaps you did. The Grievous Wolves are in Acts chapter 20 when Paul is teaching at Ephesus. The Gnostics, we can find them in Paul's writings to Timothy and in the Thessalonians. And the Platonists, those Greek philosophies. John, who we're reading this week in our daily readings, will find us a verse that talks about those sort of teachings. Let's look that one up. So 1 John 3, 4 verse 3, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Either acceptance or denial of the Lord Jesus Christ and the basic truth of him was something that was under threat and under challenge by these sort of philosophies. And by the year AD 325, all sorts of changes were starting to assail Christian beliefs. It was moving away from its origins. As we say in the middle of the slide there, the new converts were starting to damage Christianity because of some of the other ideas that they retained, whether they were the Grievous Wolves early on, or the Gnostics, or the Platonists after that. So certainly it would seem that Christianity, as we now find it, has changed from its original format. Okay, let's come to look at Christianity itself then. We said we'd use the blot logo for Christianity, and we're suggesting that down through the years that Christianity has been in place, History has been disfigured, in fact, strangely, history has been disfigured by Christianity. And so, in the 3rd century, there were persecutions, up to the 3rd century, there were persecutions of Christians. To be a Christian was to suffer violence. That shouldn't have been what Christianity was about, should it? But Christianity became assailed by paganism, that other system of religions that was contending with Christianity. And if we went through history, in the 4th century there was more persecution to be found. In the 7th century there was more persecution to be found. And you can perhaps think, if you think back of the history that you know, you can perhaps think of examples of where people are perhaps bringing blame to the door of Christianity and saying, surely that really shouldn't have happened in the name of Christ. So in the 10th, 11th and 12th centuries, we have those terrible wars that were going on in the name of Christianity. In the 13th century, in the 16th century, there were things that were happening around Christianity, but they didn't seem to be things that would obviously connect with original Christianity. They seemed to be features that were developing out of the evolving Christianity. Until we come down to the present day and the recent history of the 20th century and things that were happening then. Perhaps you thought of some examples of those sorts of things. So the persecution of Christians by pagans became the persecution of Christians by Christians very soon, when some Christians were saying that other Christians were heretics and they would persecute them in terrible, physical, violent ways, which reflected the way they themselves had suffered persecution only a few years, a few tens or hundreds of years before. And then in the 7th century, with the rise of Islam, persecution of Christians by Muslims started to occur. Muslims saying that Christians worship three gods, whereas they worshipped only one God. And of course that too tells us how far Christianity had moved from its origins. Then we were thinking of the bloodthirsty crusades that were happening. Again, in the name of Christ, but not seeming to mesh with what you would have expected with the Christ and with the Christians who originally were. And the inquisitions by the priesthood within the Christian church at the time. And then the indulgences that were sold in the 16th century by the leaders of the Christian church, which resulted in the great rift of the 16th century with Luther protesting against that and many other deviations in the story of Christianity. Far from the original, Luther could see that. And lastly, at the bottom of the slide there, I've put up the sectarian violence in Northern Ireland, which to this day, many people say, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, you know, what a stain it is. So let's move quickly onwards then and talk about reviving. Reviving that original Christianity. Taking care not to revive it in the wrong way, but working out what the right way to revive it is. It's changed in so many ways, but what ought to be done to change it into the right way? Well, two things there on the slide. To avoid the sorts of mistakes that people have been making for 2,000 years in the way they have caused Christianity to change. So to avoid, and then positively, to revert to the original format, the original foundations. And there's a Bible verse that talks about foundations. Paul, writing to Corinthians, talked about Christ here, I'll put the verse on the screen for you, as the original and the sole foundation. And although Paul, he says, found himself as a builder building on the foundation, and knows that other people will follow in his footsteps and work on the same foundation, they must take great care to be true to the foundation, vertically, horizontally, absolutely correct, true to the foundation. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? That if we're to find our way back to the original, we need to look carefully at what the original was and define the Christianity that is ours as being firmly rooted and true and upright with the original principles that were there in Christianity from the very start, and behaviour set that goes with those principles. Belief and behaviours. So we looked at some of the behaviours that have happened over the centuries, and people have been easily able to see that surely those weren't Christian behaviours, that people like the Inquisitor, Catholics and the Protestants in Northern Ireland, or any of those things that were happening, things that are not Christian behaviours, we ought to be aware of. And the beliefs need to be the beliefs that are rooted in the Bible, not the beliefs of people who find that they have beliefs that they find rather attractive, perhaps rather intellectually challenging. If those are not in line with the true beliefs, then they must go. So I've got a handout for you here. Perhaps Dan can help me giving these out. There are about 20, so you might need to share these. Well, I've got a handout on Bible verses to do with behaviours. To look at these Bible verses, I thought it would be quicker than bombarding you with them on the screen, and you could work at your own speed through them. But I just wanted you to have a look down through these verses and find the key word in each, thanks, in each section. The key word should give us a behaviour that we ought to recognise as a Christian behaviour. All of these are behaviours that work with the original Christianity. So I might not give you 5 minutes, but I'll give you a couple of minutes where I'll stop babbling and you can have a look at those, and then if you like, you can shout out what you've seen. You don't have to be super quiet for this bit. You can be as noisy as you like. Have a good old chat about it if you want. So, being as you're good Christadelphians, I expect you'll all have started at the back, at the bottom of the list rather than the top. Maybe you haven't. Has anybody found what the key word in the first one seems to be? Okay. We've got love. We've got love in the... We've got friends. We got love in the second one. We've got friends, friendship in the first one. Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Third one's more challenging, isn't it? Does anybody get that one?
Follow or copy.
Yes, that was the idea. Teachers is the word that I circled in John. And, I think it's to do with recognising true teachers, which is something that we do in our ecclesias, isn't it? Philippians 2?
Humility.
Yes, humility. That's a nice one, isn't it? How about James 5? That's perhaps not such an easy one to see, or to put into words. I think you can probably see it. Yeah. Someone bringing back someone. So it's to do with caring for people. So it's a straight and narrow. Yeah. I've put having a sense of decency for Ephesians 5. And the last one, Galatians, I've put resisting change by promoting the Bible or the gospel. So those are that's all I wanted you to do with that sheet of paper. You can relax again now. Thanks. So those are a set of beliefs which are beliefs that come from the Bible. They're beliefs that go with true Christianity. Okay. So I'd like to do maybe not such an arduous thing as that. I'd like to do something with Christian beliefs as well as Christian behaviours. So we've looked at the founding behaviour set. Let's look at the founding belief set. And this time I will put a verse on the screen and I'll ask you what you think about it, if I can. So, Galatians 4:4. When in the fullness of time. When the time was right, I think is the ESV, God sent his son born of a woman. So, what's that about? Okay, somebody else said that to me when I did this last week. So, it is about Jesus, son of God, but it's about the time when God sent Jesus, his son. So it's about the Advent. That's my take on it. There are lots of different answers, aren't there? So I've given you there that we've had a verse about the Advent of Christ, the first Advent of Christ. Here's the second one. There are only three of these particular beliefs that we've selected out of many. So in Corinthians then, we are talking about what? Paul is writing about what? Almost the same answer as the last verse, isn't it? Our core belief that God has sent Jesus to be the Saviour. So salvation is in Christ. That was the second point then in Corinthians. And thirdly and lastly, there are three verses here, Galatians 4, verses 13, 14, and then 16. And you can all see what that is talking about. Experience tells me here.
Resurrection.
Yeah. Resurrection. So it is... not the first resurrection, in the sense of Christ's was the first resurrection, but this is a resurrection of those who are Christ, aren't they? The resurrection at the last day, as Martha and Mary describe it. So, the resurrection of those who are Christ's. And lastly, and this isn't a verse, if I say the kingdom on earth is one of our core beliefs, well it is one of the original Christianity's core beliefs, you will say to me, we know this because of... There are several reasons we know about the kingdom of God on earth, aren't there?
Lord's Prayer.
Thank you. That's the one I always think of. The Lord's Prayer. Where's it gone? There it is. Keep pressing the wrong button here. Lord's Prayer, yeah. Okay. A Bible verse that we learned in Sunday school about the second coming of Christ. Acts chapter 1.
The men of Galilee.
Yes, the men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall come. And Isaiah 11 is another one of those verses that we learned in Sunday school. And not so easy to remember from the numbers, is it? But This is the one about all the world being full of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So that's those are three examples then of the kingdom on earth. Okay, so we've looked at the original Christianity. We've looked at Christianity as it became changed. And we've looked at what we would need to do if we were trying to revive Christianity. But that is actually what we are doing. That is what we do, isn't it? Those are the things that we stand for. Those behaviours that reflect the Lord who bought us. And those beliefs which say the things that he said. So this is the bonus slide. And this is about revivalism. And I thought it was a rather nice woodcut. And it's nice to look at the expressions on the faces, which I think tell a story in themselves. And the energy, both on the platform there with the arm up in the air, and in the audience who are obviously engaged, even without a worksheet. Whilst it's quite hard to put into words what revivalism is, that gives you quite a flavour, a picture painting 1,000 words perhaps. So revivalism was something that was going on in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th century. So since Protestantism, since Luther. And it's to do with fervour. That's one of the things that characterises revivalism. And fervour individually. And that's why I like the woodcut, which didn't just show a fervent and enthusiastic speaker, but all of the audience were engaged with their own versions of that fervour. Fervent and becoming more fervent, boiling over with the Christianity that they had. Characterised by evangelists. Evangelists simply meaning those who speak about the gospel and those who live out the gospel. Brethren and sisters, we're evangelists in the Bible sense of the word, aren't we? Those ideas, if you look up revivalism in Encyclopedia Britannica, those ideas are the ideas that you will find. So, effective evangelism, because the fervour had spread through all of the individuals there, and therefore they became en masse effective in the work that they were doing of representing Christianity in a positive light. Puritans, as against the ritualism of the Church of England, was promoted. And then Methodism, from Wesley's Pietism, part of the movement. But coming right up to the present day and coming up to ecclesias in Coventry and Solihull, we, brothers and sisters, we are the people, aren't we? Who are part of that movement who say Christianity needs to be revived. It needs to go back to its roots. It needs to go to the original, to the origin. It needs to be true. It needs to be correct. It needs to be not in error. It needs to be pure. That's then a little exhortation that comes up out of this challenge. The world needs that Christianity should be revived. But please God, we each individually, we all have a part to play in that great work. Thank you.